And then there was the announcement of the assistant speakers by Chris Bishop. He also announced the, for the first time ever, actually, the announcement of a Green Party assistant speaker of the House. And we welcome Te Ano Tuiono, who's just made history on behalf of the Green Party, the first Green Party assistant speaker of the House in history. Really proud of you, Te Ano Tuiono. Did you really want the job as assistant speaker?
Took me by surprise, actually, when my name popped up, to be honest. But yeah, hey, I'm here to be useful. I'm in the House to be useful. And I was just thinking, you know, when you're down at the marae, people just are like, hey, mate, don't just stand around, pick up a tea towel, grab a shovel, make yourself useful. So an opportunity to be, as well as an opportunity to be useful. I'm looking forward to it, getting my head around all the standing orders and the speaker's rulings and all that kind of stuff, that sort of stuff that guides the debate and discussion in the House. But immensely privileged as well to be the first Green MP to be an assistant speaker, so the first Green MP to be in that position.
Okay, so just for clarification, did you not put your name forward? Did you not know you were being nominated? And yesterday when Chris Bishop announced you, is that the first time you had heard?
Oh, no, I knew about it by then. I knew it about it by people. People were having discussions over the last couple of days, I guess. And then they were asking whether I was interested, which took me by surprise. So it was nice that people thought of me. And then I just thought, yeah, why not?
Well, it's significant for the rest of us as well, too, in Te Ao Māori, because you are the only Indigenous speaker, albeit assistant speaker, currently in this current government, because we had Adrian Rudafia, as the speaker. So is there expectation on you that you will also, within the boundaries of the speaker's rulings, temper some of the racist rhetoric that we on the outside, Te Ao Māori, think here in the House? Is there expectation that you will temper that in some way? Can you, within the realms of the speaker's rulings?
Well, Adrian is the perfect example for me. He's someone, I looked up to, and I really, really appreciated the way that he guided the discussions in the House. I'm hoping to catch up with him to get some of that one-on-one guidance. So I think he did that well. We have to, stay within the boundaries of the speaking orders and speakers' rulings, standing orders and speakers' rulings, and that's important because we're all there from different political parties, and we're all there to put our positions forward and to push and nudge and represent our constituents, and that's important that we have that robust debate as well. But having how we do that, of course, is guided by standing orders and speakers' rulings. So I'm going to have a catch up with Adrian hopefully and have a chat to see how he did that as well. The other thing that I bring is also being a Te Reo Māori speaker as well. So there's an opportunity for the Māori language speakers in the House, if they want to do take their calls in Te Reo, that's a lot easier with me than it would be, I guess, with some of the others who are not proficient in Te Reo Māori.
And of course, this isn't new, speeches in Te Reo Māori. We know that in the very first Parliament, with our very first members of Parliament, they only spoke Te Reo. And they were translated. So over time, of course, that has we lost the ability to hear those in Te Reo. So it's not as though the House Halls of Parliament have not heard speeches. We've had them over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. I was in the House when they had a couple of the address and reply debates, and Willow Jean Prime, she did her speech in Te Reo. Te Reo Māori, so it is possible. And, I've, like a number of us, have lived overseas, and I've lived in countries where it's normal to have more than two, three languages. I lived in Europe for a couple of years, everyone speaks three to four languages, and that's quite normal to do that. And it's just about making sure that people can understand and understand what people are saying. But there is translation services in the house. So people are speaking Māori, they can just put the earpiece on and listen that way. So being able to enable that so that people are comfortable speaking any language, any of the official languages in the house, is really important, making sure that Parliament's accessible. Because as people have saying, have been saying over the last week, the kohanga reo generation has arrived in the whare, and they should be able to do all their speeches in te reo, and it's important. And I see it from my perspective. If I'm in the chair during those times, they will be able to do that, no problem.
So what are you making of the furore around the use of the ingoa hare hare for Charles? That seems to have been whipped up. How would you have handled that? Is it, you know, a mountain out of a molehill? What do you make of that whole situation?
Mountain out of a molehill, that's just my personal opinion. It'd be easier if we could just pledge allegiance to Te Tiriti o Waitangi, and a lot of members over the past wanted to do that. I mean, I prefer to do that, and that would probably take the sting out of that particular debate. Whether somebody wants to spend all their time in the whare getting that to happen is another thing as well, because there's only so many hours in the day. I agree with you. I think it is a mountain out of a molehill. We should just move on, focus on the mahi.
And just before we let you go, because we've got Claire Tosuta all the way over in London, of course, you know, that's very precious, isn't it, Tiano? But what do you make of yesterday of the comment by Winston Peters during the Gaza debate, where he talked about Māori and he said the last living descendants have all passed away? Those aren't his actual words, but your Julianne Genta took great offence to the kōrero that he made about Māori. Could you just clarify what the issue was?
Well, I don't think those comments were helpful. I was on the Māori Affairs Select Committee when the Moriori Settlement Bill came through the House at the last Parliament. They are very much still with us. I've been to their kohu over in the Chatham Islands and been to their marae. They have welcomed us into their whare. They have had a kai in their kota. So they are very much with us. So she was probably taking offence of that, because actually she's the MP for their kohu. She's the MP for the Chatham Islands. Those Moriori are part of her constituency.
Yeah, and she'd spent some time just recently on Rea Kohu. So, yes, there was that comment, and I'll explain to our whānau a little bit more about that a little bit later on. But te anau to you all, congratulations.
Yeah, I was wondering what Maui Solomon would have thought of that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunate narrative that we're hearing currently. Congratulations to you, brother, on being the Assistant Speaker, first time for the Green Party. Good to see the Greens up on that big chair. Will you be sitting on that big chair, or do you have to sit down by where the cook is?
I think I'm in the big chair every now and then, and sometimes in the little chair.
Yeah, well, we'll make the most of that big to-do. Make the most of it, get comfy.
Yeah.
Thanks very much to Tano Tuiono. He, Green Party, and absolutely Chair, Assistant Speaker, Parliament.